settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
This is Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical, paranormal, and spiritual information show that is designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. On today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and with the aid of our spirit friends, we are going to be finding out about exorcism.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 9 p.m. PST, and Thursdays at 2 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on ArtistFirst.com, every Tuesday at 8 p.m. PST. Plus, for the next month of June, you'll be able to hear reruns of our shows at 11 till 12 midday, Monday through Friday. If you would like to know more about us, our books and CDs, please go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. As Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, and each week live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world, so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back when the spirit communicator leaves. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either. But then that's my job, so without further ado, I'll hand you back to Sylvie and have a great show.
Thanks, Mick. Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, who consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people, and between them they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds. The subject matter we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, is limitless and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. Our mission is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And I do believe Gregory's here with us now. Hello, Gregory.
Hello. Once again, it is with absolute love, as always, that we are here. I am so privileged, of course, to be able to speak with you at this time.
Thank you so much. Well, we're very much looking forward to today's show. It's about exorcism. And I guess, for that subject, we need to know as well at some point about the history of exorcism as well, really. You know, where did it come from and that sort of thing?
Yes, well, exorcism really was truly delivered at the onset of Christianity. Naturally, before that, many people were deemed as being possessed by negative or evil spirits. Demonic possession has been something of an ancient history. It is, in fact, stemming back from some thousands of years. People in various forms of illness were thought to be possessed by evil spirits, by those from the dark side who were brought back to your physical side of life to frustrate and to in some way have another way in expressing themselves and overpowering others. This, as I say, is largely through actual spirit possession. The whole demonic possession scenario actually springs from the work, of course, of the devil, as we know, and all his works, usually associated in Christian teachings through occultism, or anything that is not Christian. So basically, anything that is not to do with Christianity or any works of the Bible were actually regarded by most at that time as being something of great fear, of presenting the dark side of those things unknown and unseen. After all, that is what occultism really is, those works of unseen hands. It may well be that in time-honored fashion, many thousands and thousands upon thousands of individuals were slaughtered in the name of occultism because they represented the status of demonic possession or actually being the heralds of some form of demon sightings. It means basically these unfortunate beings, and they were usually lumped together in a large group. It did not actually matter whether they were actually trying to bring about well-being or healing to others. But perhaps it was that they spoke in other languages other than their own. Perhaps even it may have been that they, in a sense, were schizophrenic in that they had other people attending their physical bodies. These, of course, as well, are largely said by many of those with good Christian virtue that they were in fact being possessed by some evil spirit or a dominion of Satan himself. So perhaps then we need to rise to what is actually the difference between Satan and hell and the scenario of what is called heaven. In truth, it is to the individual's persona. It is toward the individual person's understanding of what that may mean to them. And whether they bring it about upon themselves is, of course, something to do with their life work or their life pathway. If a person actually brings about situations of extreme negativity, it will possibly be that they are being influenced by others from the negative side of the ether world. As I say, this is not the evil place. It is not hell. It is whatever anyone creates within their own consciousness and lowers their vibration to such a state, not down to an animal's vibration, I hasten to add, but lowers their vibration to such a state that they are unable to formulate conscious thought and understanding. The whole practice of demonology itself, and why it would be that some are, in a sense, drawn toward it, has always mystified me. In fact, I would even go as far as to say that for many on our side of life, regardless of our religious thought and understanding, it has always mystified us completely as to why people would want to practice in arts of extreme negativity at all. This is not really to do with occultism, you understand. Occultism is just really something which is not Christian, or something which is hidden from the view of most ordinary people, and I use that word advisedly. It may well be, for many, they see the extreme provocation people with negativity have, that is, that they are being overpowered in some way by some evil or negative spirit, has to be, obviously, remedied quickly, as soon as possible. It may be that they are possessed in some way or troubled in some way by someone from the negative side of the ether world. As I say, negativity and the state of hell is not actually a place. It is an identity of where someone is in their consciousness. There are not dominions of many layers of souls who are bereft of any goodness. These souls do not lie in wait for other hapless victims to pass by so that they can possess them. However, it does seem to be that this notion of possession, particularly, I would have to say, within certain branches of Christian theocracy, the Catholic Church, for example, has a very large symbolism over possession and evil forces. And perhaps it may be that there is a great deal of work done toward trying to roll back or revile those who are Satanist or occultist but also actually to try to force this change upon others. Some will, for the sake of their own egotistical gain, dress this up and make it as something of a pantomime. Will actually bring about effects which are not superhuman, but which are in fact quite shameful acts of deprivation toward other human beings. That is, the casting out of these satanic devils. I have to say, it is laughable, really, that anyone would think they can actually bring this about by such forcible dealings. So, what would you do then if a person was actually possessed by someone? Is it right that they should hold a Bible over their head and pronounce certain verbiage in order to cast them out? What good if that were the case, just say, for a moment, if that were the case, if a person was actually possessed or enhanced by some form of extreme negative spirit, what would be the good of casting them out from that person and not actually bringing about some form of resolution for that being? And I know we are talking about and touching upon the subject of attachments here, and I do not wish to dwell in it because, as I understand, we are going to actually talk about that in a completely different context.
Yes, I think one of the worrying, really worrying things, that because I did some research into this, and the things that came up were the reasons that these Christian denominations or whatever, these religions, actually decide is something when people have got demons. And any form of violence, lust, greed, or any unnatural power of persuasion was four things that were mentioned.
Then perhaps you would actually turn in most people of most governments and jail them or cast them out.
Mm-hmm. And another one, and which was very worrying, was suicide.
I'm sorry, I'm not being flippant. I am just merely...
Well, no, and when it said a natural power of persuasion, I did actually think of door-to-door salesman, you know. I mean,
We have to draw the line somewhere.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So suicide, unfortunately, was branded in with that as well, you know, that they are frequently associated with demon possession. Especially in teens and adults where there is no discernible cause that a demon has induced a person to commit suicide. I mean, you know, there's so many, so dangerous a lot of it, isn't it?
Absolutely so, because it is very provocative, I feel, toward those who may have thoughts of their own.
Yes.
That they would dare to have thoughts which conjure up anything within their own value. Now, I'm not saying that, of course, all of these things are good either. What I am saying, though, is people have to have a sense of reality and what really is the cause of such forms of possession and what really will eliminate it. What will actually help someone who is, so say, possessed. But also what I am saying is that many people who are told that they are possessed are, in fact, not at all. It is just a sham. It is much to do with autosuggestion and is a psychological ploy in order to bring out something which actually does not exist at all. Now, it may well be, of course, through this exorcism that the person feels much better for it. Perhaps they should have gone into a small room and pounded a pillow for a while. Or actually looked within a self and thought about meditation or something like that, which will actually calm the inner fears or disconcerted opinion that people have sometimes of their own conscious state. You understand that sometimes people feel that they are actually moving off the rails or that they are coming unhinged, quite simply because they have thoughts which they never had before. Does that really mean to say that they are being possessed by someone? I hardly think so.
Yes. The other thing that was disturbing was that children with behaviour and learning problems could be possessed.
Interesting.
And also, people with disabilities.
Well, first of all then, let us talk about children with learning problems who may be possessed. It is true that some children may be influenced by negative forces. These may be people in the spirit world who have some other agenda that they wish to bring across. Perhaps it is that they just seek a friend. Perhaps then is it that you deny another person's right to have communication. Perhaps you do that because they are non-physical and you are. And in that case, you must, as a non-physical being, be able to have any form of communication, according to some religious views, with physical beings at all. Because in order to do so, means you must be of some lower vibration or some extreme negative force. That only that, apparently, is able to communicate in a physical way to human beings having a physical existence. It is not demonic forces which are at work which cause child problems, perhaps to do with negative intention, or it could be even learning difficulties which have nothing whatsoever to do with any forces extraneous within the physical environment or to do with the ether world. It may well be that their problems stem from genetic inheritance, from purely a disease or illness. So no amount of possession will actually enhance that situation. Yes, it may be that the child has some weakness. And it could be, on very rare occasions, that they are infiltrated by others who are of negative force, as I say, from our side of life. Doesn't mean to say they are demons. It means to say that they are someone who has not fulfilled their life destiny and purpose.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about exorcism. Welcome. I found out that children are warned from dressing up in costumes like witches and ghosts and Satan and things like that at fancy dress parties and watching even the Wizard of Oz film.
Yes, well, I suppose with some castes of religious understanding, they would do that, wouldn't they? That is because many fear the intrusion of any other form of life which is beyond the boundaries or constraints their religious theocracy holds dear. It is very unfortunate that religions use fear in order to try to marshal people into their way of thinking, to force people into turning away from anything else which represents a threat to that form of thought. It has nothing to do with love, of course. Nothing to do with sharing or caring toward other people, regardless of their faith. Is not that a true value of someone who may become enlightened upon their road or their pathway of life? Is that surely not a better way to behave than to be so distrusting of everyone one meets who is not speaking the same language or have the same thoughts as you have? So what to do with all of these? It is actually very difficult to give one simple answer to all of these facets of human behavior. After all, many people cite demonic possession as being something of reverence even in some societies. Those who see voodoo as a way of claiming the identity between the ether world and the earth may see some forms of possession as being the culmination of their form of thought, their transition of behavior from someone who is just normal and really behaving quite rationally to someone who is shaking violently or being possessed in some way, actually seems to clarify what their school of thought is. It is as though it says, yes, you see, I told you so. Just the same as those people in religious thoughts and feelings of a particular value or worth, Christianity perhaps, or whatever, and I'm not singling that out. I'm just saying that that is one of many, many other religious thoughts and feelings theocracies actually decided long ago that extreme negativity and violence or anything that begets it to do with the demon side of life is something that should not be encouraged and in fact defeated with fear, oppressed then by the shields of light, as it were, which is a fair enough statement, if that were to be true. But unfortunately, what then tends to happen is that most of these theocracies then turn to their own religious label and state that everything else beyond that label is completely out of bounds, of course, in order to maintain their followers in their way of thought.
So what actually happens to people? You see it on the TV when they're being exercised. I mean, that people make a good living out of doing this, it seems.
Yes, it is the most dangerous thing to do, friend, because I do believe that part of it is actually, in some instances, to hit them exactly upon the third eye, sending them reeling backward. Very often, it may be that this is done with such force that it actually temporarily suspends their consciousness.
Grief.
And, of course, that they are caught by two other able-bodied handlers at the time, who then raise them up and proclaim them as being cleansed afterward.
But that's actually a physical thing that happens to them. They actually knock them out.
Yes,
or quite. Senseless, or knock them senseless in some way.
Yes, absolutely so. It is not that they have fallen over by this power of light that they are supposed to have at their sides or within them because they are doing God's work. It has nothing at all to do with God's work. It is more to do with the creation of subversion and actually has more of an impact of psychological drama than to actually purely cleanse anyone of any great extreme negativity. Even if that was, as I say, from the interactivity of someone from the spirit world with extreme negative behavior.
Drama is the right word as well, because it does look like a drama, and I often think, I mean, I've only seen it a few times, but I think, well, why are you putting that on the TV?
Yes, quite so.
You know, growing, well, crying out, shouting out.
Yes, my dear friend, because it is to do with the whole savior propolism that it is, you see here, I am showing you how the dark side is cast out because of my religious fervor, because I am praising that which we follow. As I say, this is a point of view. It is extremely misguided for people to think they can rescue anyone in this way. I particularly take issue with those people who go to situations where there are apparitions or where there are situations of any kind of possession of a physical property, perhaps a building or something like that. You would have ghost hunters who would bring along with them a demonologist, whatever that means, to actually exorcise the place, the building, of the ghost or spirit of the deceased one who actually is attached to that place. Let me tell you also at this present time that such mannerism, such action is actually undermining to the spirit world and to all things creation holds dear.
Can you explain that?
Yes. The reason for it is that it is casting something out or someone out who obviously needs help. So, therefore, that is not a good Christian thing to do. It is not a good thing in the advantage of any form of religious insight. You are not being a good being by creating this problem. A problem that, once again, the spirit world either has to fix or that will simply move on to somewhere else. The problem still existing. You cannot send people to the light when they are not ready, or if they still have issues and situations to deal with. If that is the case, then what you need to do is bring healing to the situation, not to bring fear and ridicule, not to try to install the angels of light to cast them out into some vagrant land, or the Bagran, perhaps. I believe that is what they call it. Cast to the fields of the background where all evil dwells. It is, in fact, in short, not going to solve anything at all. it will merely prolong the agony for the person whose spirit it is with the problem or the misunderstanding or the unresolved life solution. What you need to do is to actually learn to have interaction with that person, to learn to bring an ability of self to actually bring healing to them through words, through physical action, through your intention of the power of release of their own hurtful thoughts from their own world, so that they may recover themselves and continue on their journey.
Yes, I think a belief in heaven or hell, heaven and hell, I should say, has got a lot to answer for in this case, hasn't it?
It has, absolutely, most certainly. And that, of course, is because everyone desires the design of being in heaven at the outcome of their eventual passing. All beings wish to be in that place of divine opportunity, of absolute peace and tranquility. Perhaps they will bring the issuing energy of love and invoke love to be the one providing energy of their life force throughout all eternity, which of course everyone wishes to have. Why is it then that people bring about such calamity in their life, such disaster within their thoughts and their principles, within their morality? And what they try to bring about in bringing their own situation of power and greed. If you say that greed and lust and all of those other things of avarice and mindful neglect to do with human behavior are all things to do with the devil and demonic possession, then I feel that you would actually discount probably some three-quarters of an entire population of any one country.
Yes, and not allow children to experiment and experience life themselves, to end up a better person at the end of it out of their own will and their own learning.
Brings inhibition. Brings the focus of fear into their lives. And if a child has fear, it will be reluctant to open any window of change. Therefore, you will merely have a clone of the previous generation. Is that really what humanity wants of itself? Just to provide direct duplicates and copies of one another? Even in the most ancient of stories, Gilgamesh included, there were situations of rivalry between those of goodness and those of evil. We can see from the ancient writings and texts, from all kinds of individual lands, that populations had purged themselves of certain situations, stances, certain behaviors that people brought about in their community. They may have done this in the wake of a religious fervor, or they may have done it through bipartisan laws created to govern their own land. After all, it was only until recently that England itself maintained the Witchcraft Act. There are still, in many countries, acts which imply that witchcraft or anything to do with it should be banned, or is unlawful in their community.
Yes, and witchcraft comes under a very grey, smudgy description, doesn't it?
Because
it can be somebody who works with herbs.
Absolutely.
Anything like that.
Yes, quite so. It may be a herbalist, a spiritual naturist, who is actually focusing more upon the nature spirit and actually is also trying to bring energy from the earth to try to heal others. Or perhaps from the spirit world to heal others. Are these then to be said to be negative situations just because they are not of a specified religion? How can you possibly have a community who is supposedly open to free will and thinking to deprive others of their own resource or their own understanding into how they may bring help to those who are suffering? Do not forget, of course, that many priests and priestesses of different denominational groups will actually have a signatory in their indoctrination whereby they may bestow healing upon someone else through God or whatever it is that is on their side, that they are actually spokespeople for. After all, many will cite their own texts, their own language that they follow, as being sublimely the words of the Creator or God, and of course which favours their particular point of view.
But surely everybody who works with goodwill and love and appreciation of everybody and everything is working with God.
Absolutely, of course. That is the problem which we see. People encounter this rivalry with one another. They bring about fear in this instance, in virtually every form of contact outside of their own domain. It is fear that raises the spectre of what negative energies may bring about. For example, it may be that a person who has been in a relationship, a long loving relationship or whatever, and their partner passes. Well, what if their partner, in love, in the energy of love, comes back to try to communicate with them? Are they too to be cast out by those good Samaritans, by those who say that God is on their side? Do they cast them out, saying that they are evil spirits, saying that that person is possessed, or that they should not actually have any form of attraction toward that kind of energy, even though it may be their loved one? Surely, that is a disastrous outcome for the contact and communication, and in fact the deliverance of the whole meaning of the spirit world and the universe as a whole. That life continues. Aren't they all trying to say that life continues in these different theocracies? Aren't they trying to relive that life in the sages, in the different pronouncements come about that are brought about in the language that is going to be their final delivering place? Is that not true as well of those who do not share that belief? That they too are to meet with the divine in themselves at the point of their passing? Of course it is. And that they too may share in the energy, in the loving attraction from one side to the other side, regardless of faith or belief.
Do you think films and television have got a lot to answer for?
Well, yes, to a point, I suppose, in that all kinds of depiction of interrelationship between the spirit world and the physical world generally tend to be portrayed as being something of extreme negativity or negative force. Therefore, people always have this possibility in their minds that if something touches them they cannot see or cannot connect with immediately in the physical light of day, then it must be a force of extreme negativity. And that does sadden me. And it saddens many of us on our side of life, because it is really being completely misguiding and misunderstanding and creating the control of these vastly superior negative religious groups.
Where did the goat's head come from in all of this?
As a depiction of the devil, friend.
Yes, but who decided that?
Well, really, it was ancient biblical stories, which, incidentally, many of them were handed down from other races, other peoples, long before Christianity ever arose. It was to do with the whole ethos behind certain other creatures as well. Snakes and spiders are also considered to be animals of the devil, as well as goats. Even the Mayans and Aztecians also had different situations that came up to do with their own fears, which of course the priests and priestesses were gladly open to provocating in their society. It meant that they had a greater power, the good over the evil things people do. This all stems from any collection of people trying to bring their morality code into how they will conduct themselves in their lives, what is acceptable behavior. This, of course, is something which is symbolized in their thoughts and feelings about different forms of actions and thoughts people have about their own behavior or that of others. As I say, lust is something which was particularly thought of in some societies, at any rate, as being extreme and therefore had to be of great negativity. Whereas in other societies, Romans included, it was that certain actions of a lustful nature were actually promising for them.
So it's all about control, really, and who's calling the shots.
Yes, quite so. Whoever has the reins at the time, whoever is leading that particular nation or that particular thought field, how they actually bring input into people's lives will very much determine upon their own thoughts and views, their own narrow-mindedness, perhaps, of how they see determining a good life.
But there are cult situations, aren't there, where people do work with dark forces,
absolutely, magic, whatever
you want to call it.
Yes, quite so. There are those who are absolutely intent on certain aspects of black magic and the darker forces, extreme negativity. There will be those who can actually bring about energy and leave it in buildings or dwellings, can actually form it and force it toward someone else to create harm, to perhaps bring a dis-ease upon them. And these are people, physical people, yes.
So then some could say that they are possessed to start with, to be doing that.
Well, most certainly they have an attraction toward that side of behavior. Does that mean they are possessed necessarily? I actually happen to think humanity is able to create any form of life habit, of life behavior within itself. Therefore, human beings, and that is without the interference of anyone, they may, if they wish, be able to perform extreme violence upon others, perhaps to the point where they are creating absolute abuse and mayhem. Is this really what people want? Well, to some it is. Their extreme negative behavior, after all, brings about the constant energy spiral which negativity allows. Do not forget, you can only increase the power of negativity by thinking more negative thoughts. Therefore, those people who have this form of persuasion about them, who have this mindset, are eminently in danger themselves, becoming unhinged by their own violent possession. It doesn't mean to say that they have someone else possessing them. That really relieves them of their duty of care or their own inner responsibility of self to have some kind of governance of their own morality. Is it that human society in the physical world demands it, or is it that we in the spirit world demand it? I have to say that the spirit world does not demand anything because it is up to the individual to acquiesce to their own behavior. If they wish to be extremely negative, then they will do that. And no amount of attraction by the spirit world can cease that problem, can alleviate that problem, unless it is that the individual themselves is mindful of what they are creating and wishes to change. It is all about responsibility of the individual.
I'd like to say thank you once again for those who may have just joined us. You're listening to Spirit Work and Gregory Hay, who is being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about exorcism. What happens to the person? Is it dangerous to the person who actually is, so say, exorcised in the churches or whatever, when they have the Bible slapped on their forehead and they fall over? And maybe before that they were speaking in guttural noises and shouting abuse and everything. Is it dangerous for that person to be going through that?
My dear friend, I would have to say it is dangerous from the point of view of enhancing that form of negative, extreme negative energy attraction. It means they are actually bringing about a heightening in certain senses of awareness. They are actually bringing about a great fluctuation in the temperate ability of certain organs to function. They are actually bringing about a possible psychotic release in that instance, which is, of course, very dangerous.
And they are actually attracting the type of negative energy that they're trying to, so say, get rid of. They're actually attracting them by doing that.
Absolutely so. This is my point.
Almost like a calling.
Yes, quite so. that by doing this, they're actually making this a doorway possibility to be opened by that person in the future. This only then inspires a weakness in that person. They will actually perhaps then return again and again, thinking that they are repossessed again and again, simply because they have allowed that doorway to become a possibility in their own psyche.
So they didn't have before, but they could have afterwards.
Yes, absolutely so, which is why I'm saying it is so dangerous.
Mm.
Of course, those who perform this kind of act would refute all references to it, simply because they will continue with their own egotistical build upon their own energy. Maybe it is that they themselves are the creators of this extreme negative impulse.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that they should perhaps look at themselves and their own way, their own reflection of their life purpose. And what they are really doing is antagonizing and creating further dysteric energy upon the universe.
Mm-hmm. And they are in a self-proclaimed position, aren't they? So.
Of course, yes. And I'm not saying that this also covers those priests who are of goodness and of health and who are only trying their best to bring an end to suffering of some people who are having great problems. What I'm saying is that there are many who may come into this situation with conflict in their upper house, in their minds, in their consciousness, to relieve it in a certain way, rather than actually understanding that every situation is different and is brought about by different causes of action and physical effects from either the ether world or the physical world. Naturally, it will be that at times they will come upon a situation when true possession has taken place. At that time, great care needs to be taken into fully understanding what needs to be done. Not to curse them or cast them out, not to pronounce endless cycles that will only create further problems for someone else. Eventually all things will come equal, but we ask all of those who are in that possibility to create change, to do it in the best intention, with healing, with love in their hearts, so that these beings may be able to come to peace and some form of fulfillment in that stage of their lives.
So what actually happens when somebody goes round, whether it's a priest or whoever, goes round to a house that's supposed to be possessed with evil spirits, and they say that they are exorcising the property?
There will be various incantations that will be levelled at or towards those energies. They will possibly have holy water with them and sprinkle that. And of course, yes, it is very similar to the ways in which native peoples would actually deal with a form of negative spirit who actually has infiltrated a particular place or whatever. They too will bless it with water, will perhaps use lavender or sage or something like that in order to bring about a ceasing of that energy. Will ask the spirit to return to their homeland. In just the same way, it will be that priests will actually have a similar message, although of course it will be in the context of whatever their saviour might be, in the name of. It may be in the name of Jesus Christ, or it may be in the name of Mary, for all things holy. It will be, it isn't to say these people mean harm, but it is misguided to think you may rescue all situations through this one simple offering, that actually human life is not like that, and human life beyond physical world is not like that. You have to be able to bring about a greater reason than simply casting them out or casting them even to hell, back to the denizens of where they originated or where they came from.
So we're saying here that there's positive and there's negative spirits that can affect us in some way.
Yes.
So we're not saying, you know, don't be silly, there's no such thing as negative spirits. We're just saying that there isn't the devil and his demons.
Exactly so. And I know this will sit badly with a lot of people.
Hmm.
there is no heaven or hell in the spirit world. The spirit world is one particular place of the whole of the universe. What hell is within a person's own personality. It is their interplay with life and with the continuing life forces, wherever they may be. People create their own individual hell, bring out their own individual Satans, their own denizens of deep depression, or illness, or misuse, or disease, or all of those other negative traits that human beings try to avoid if they can.
We're talking about breeding fear, aren't we, really?
Yes, that is true. And it is to do with this underlying course of events that people put upon one another, which actually has a more profound effect. It creates further negativity. It does. It creates further harm. It means, basically, that people cannot become happier at knowing their loved ones are watching over them from the spirit world, and that from time to time, they may pay them a visit. It may be that this is quite an ongoing situation, that a particular house is actually quite active with beings from our side of life who are freely interacting in their own way, perhaps even having a life in parallel to that of physical beings, and that they interact occasionally.
So they're not going to be open to that, are they?
Quite so.
Receptive?
Yes, some will not, some will, of course.
Any interaction with any spirit is demonic, then you're not going to be receptive to that.
Exactly so. It will be extremely difficult to change your mind or your opinion, particularly if it was something inherited toward you by your relatives, by the way that you were brought up. Then that is an extreme blocking of the well-being and the possibility which exists outside of your normal understanding. It means that human beings have, in that way, enforced miscommunication, which is a great shame and a lost chance to understand further the workings of the spirit world. To do with the whole situation which surrounds people towards certain animals and this sensationalism over extreme negativity. Snakes, for example, have been cast out as being physical demons of the devil. They are not. They are actually just beings living their own lives. In the genetic forum, they have a certain energy about them. They have a certain habit and way in which they occupy a place in your world. They are not forms of the devil, although it has been made or symbolized that that is the case. Very similar to the way in which goats themselves have been portrayed. It is most unfortunate that whilst in some religious understanding they would persecute one form of animal, and yet in another they would revere it, like a cow, to those of the Indian nation. Can it be that just because it is an animal, that it must be then deemed as being a lower life form, therefore susceptible to demonic possession itself? Is it that just because a bear becomes angry when human beings venture into its domain, that they then cite this particular animal as being possessed or representing in some way something to do with evil forces, just because it is actually trying to protect its own environment? You try to protect yours with violence, with guns, with ways of destroying other beings against their will, and without provocation sometimes. Sometimes you will do it even just for fun, just for your own amusement and enjoyment. Is that then, surely, not an evil possession to wish to do that, to bring about the destruction of some other animal for a senseless reason of your own enjoyment? How else then can you perhaps depict your own morality as being above reproach when, in fact, aspects of it are so intensively negative. Animals do not create war upon one another. They will only eat one another because they have to, because that was the segment of the genetic food chain in which they live. It has nothing to do with the situation surrounding negative forces or extreme negativity from such a thing as the devil or Satan. You only deem those forces as being negative, such as animals being extremely negative, because you do not understand their vibration. Animals actually vibrate, in the main, at quite a high rate, and for some, far higher than many human beings. Human beings, after all, are only animals in a different disguise. You are animals. I am an animal. I can speak in this way, in English. I can speak in a language that I know, that I came to know in the physical world when I had a physical existence. That does not make me to be something possessed or something of evil intent. The way human beings depict what is evil and what is goodness is relative only to the theocracy within a mind. If it is that the angels of light beats the denizens of darkness in the final battle, in the final outcome between the forces of good and evil, what if all of that just simply did not exist, but only remains a battle within the individual's mind? And that, maybe, is something that should be exorcised. But it is only because you lack care of self, because you may have intrusion from others, because you are careless, or because you invite negativity into your world. It is not because someone else wants to take control of you, necessarily, but because you have left yourself open to dis-ease, to invite such extreme negativity into your world.
Well, thank you very much, Gregory, once again. Time's got the better of us.
Yes, my friend. With love and light and pleasant dreams upon your journey.
Good day. Thank you. Good day, Gregory. I'd just like to mention our website again. That's www.spirit-teaching.com. Our books are available on it, and they are available from bookstores and Amazon.com, as well as Spirit's Book Radio Show on BBS Radio Blogging Service.com on Mondays and Thursdays. We have the Spirit Teaching Radio Show on ArtistFirst.com on Tuesdays. Details are also on our site. And we hope you've enjoyed the show, and thank you so much for listening. I'm Sylvie Avery. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.